Welcome to the Faith Element Podcast for the December 18, 2016 session, focusing on Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Love makes a way. I'm David Cassidy.
I'm Nikki Hardiman.
I'm Daniel Glaze.
And I'm Bert Montgomery.
Well, it looks like we have a favorite Advent passage from Matthew for this episode. I mean, how many of us almost can say this one from memory, right?
That's right. Yeah,
very familiar. So, Bert, I mean, we've heard this passage many times over the years. Can you help us take a fresh look at it?
Well, I can try. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place this way. That's how the gospel text starts off this week. As if to grab our attention and say, listen up, I'm about to tell you something very important. It's a good way to start telling a story. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place this way. A hard-working, honest man, a carpenter by trade, discovers that his bride-to-be is pregnant. And oh, how the gossip started flowing in the beauty parlors and local diners. And the disturbing thing is, at least to this man, is that this good man kept his end of the bargain. We have every reason to believe that he honored his true love waits pledge. So he began making arrangements to end the engagement. And he did so quietly, not wanting to make a big scene to taunt or humiliate his cheating fiance. That's integrity right there, a man of high character. And then he had a dream in the night, a dream in which he is visited by none other than an angel, a dream in which, of all things, the angel tells this carpenter that his wife did not cheat on him, really. In spite of all the overwhelming physical evidence to the contrary, she did not cheat. Instead, she had been made pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son. And this carpenter is to name this son Jesus, which means the Lord saves, for this son will save the people from their sins. And this carpenter, named Joseph, woke up with this problem. An expecting fiancé, through no fault of his own, wisdom gained from all the real-world life experiences, and of course the juicy rumors flying around town, tarnishing his good reputation, all the cold, hard facts, versus a dream in the night. A dream. Maybe he had too much pizza right before bedtime. Maybe he had hurt his back and the doctor gave him a good prescription medication. A dream set against an entire life's worth of experience in the real, natural world. Now, you know, I've always been fascinated by dreams, especially dreams in the Bible, like this one involving Joseph. And that's always been kind of my focus when I've come around to this text, but I'm beginning to think that the miracle here is in one of the latter verses. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Again, in the midst of all the reason and all the evidence around him and the words and the opinions of those around him, when he awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And I can't help but wonder what it might mean on this fourth Sunday of Advent for us to be awake and to do, in spite of all the evidence to the contrary.
Bert, thanks for that really great introduction. I mean, these characters that we've lived with and revisit, every year at Christmas, I don't know, the way you told the story really humanized Joseph in that he was, you know, a real person with real emotions. And I don't know how Mary told him she was pregnant, but not by him. But, you know, this whole plan, was he hurt? Was he embarrassed? Probably, you know, and he had these real human emotions. And you really humanized Joseph for me here. And I'm just struck by the way he acts throughout this. The angel comes to see him, sort of gives him the plan, and without really waiting for a better option, he says, Okay. And it's his diligence, he's really a model of loving behavior here. In the telling of the story, you really endeared him to me. But despite all his behavior, all the things that he does right and out of love and out of a pure heart, he doesn't say anything, does he? I mean, if I'm not mistaken, the father of Jesus, he's the one character in the Christmas pageant that doesn't get a line.
Wow.
I never thought about that. Either.
I mean, I've got that's just stirring up a lot in my own mind, but I don't know. It's a little difficult for me to grasp because, all right, I'm a pastor. My most visible ministry function is that of preaching. I'm paid to speak. You want to know the truth about it. But we could all name people in our church, in our family, in the community, who are the ones who really get the job done. They're not the loud ones who are talking. They're not the ones who always have to get their way. They're not the first ones to speak on the floor of the business meeting. There are people like Joseph all around us, quiet models of love, who just do what need to be done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's sort of where my mind's going.
Yeah.
And in that respect, I mean, I like to think of myself as someone who does the right things, but in terms of just quietly accepting this as your lot and going forward the best you can, you know, he's different from me in that respect. I guarantee that I would protest. I would have had something to say, or at least try to get a word in edgewise.
And, you know, I mean, I think it fits with his character, right? Because even before he got the instructions from the angel in the dream, he wasn't going to disgrace her. Like, he had a gentle spirit to begin with.
That's true.
You know, he was going to go ahead and end the engagement, but quietly, respectfully. He wasn't going to drag her through the mud. He had a very gentle disposition.
I mean, it's almost as if he just, you know, let's just tell people it didn't work out kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's sort of the person he was.
You know, I think we always, and rightly so, celebrate Mary's courage to carry baby Jesus. She is a, you know, remarkable character in scripture. She agrees to this task. And we often talk about, you know, God chose Mary, but maybe God chose Mary and Joseph if Mary had not been connected to such a humble, gentle man. It would not have worked or gone the way that it did.
That's really interesting, Nikki. Part of this, the miracle of Christ, was not only the willingness of this poor, probably frightened peasant girl named Mary to say yes to this crazy plan, but equally astonishing is that this gentle man, mm-hmm. Joseph, mm-hmm. was there and was willing to do the right thing the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Which, okay, I'm still stuck on this thing where he doesn't speak, but it does tie into what we're saying, because I think it goes to prove the point. And then I know it's cliche, but folks will say, love is not a noun, it's a verb. You know, love's what you do, you know, and not just in the easy times, going back to our podcast last week, but love is what you do when you're afraid and you don't know how it's going to turn out, but you know that God's with you the whole way.
I don't know. To me, the fact that this bit of the story is included in Matthew is a very humanizing thing. You know, John's gonna, like you say, skip over and not talk about the birth, except as the logos. I mean, it's very abstract, right? But it's a very humanizing thing, because we can all relate to this sense of this young family and this young couple that's struggling with these decisions and. What are they going to do? And the social ramifications. It's a very humanizing part of the story, in spite of it being, you know, miraculous.
And I don't want to take us off subject, because I think that's a good point. Here's my connection to that, David. Part of what makes this so humanizing is what Bert mentioned in his Bible background, is the fact that all this takes place in a dream. I mean, part of our humanity is, you know, when we sleep often, we dream. And have you ever had one of those dreams where it's so vivid, so dramatic that you wake up and you're like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Yeah. You know, as Bert said, was it the pizza I had? Or did that really happen?
Yeah. It was that burrito. Yeah,
it's like, I mean, all right, think about this. You know, for a few nights, Joseph didn't sleep, I'm sure. And then when he finally can sleep, he has this vivid dream. God is, you know, here's an angel. And the angel says, God wants you to change your plans. We've all, like I said, we've all had those moments where you shake your head and you go, was that real? Or wait a minute, what? So, you know, Joseph did that. How did he know the dream was true?
Yeah, because he couldn't weigh it against reality.
Yeah.
And it's not like it was something that would be commonly heard in a dream, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty...
Yeah, it's not like your teeth falling out kind of dream.
Underwear or something.
I know.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I had an exam I didn't prepare for.
Mine is that I've left the sermon back in the office. It's about once a month. But I get those dreams. But yeah, I mean, this one, I've never had one like this. But he doesn't seem to at least protest much, but something told him it was true.
You know, and I wonder, of course, Matthew's writing this off the top of my head, what, 70 years after it happened, I guess. Looking back, and he's got Mark in front of him, or at least heard the stories as he's writing it down. You know, when you think about it, maybe Joseph didn't just wake up and realize it was true as much as living after the fact and then looking back and seeing the dream being true. Does that make sense?
But he acted on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I bet every day he had to act on it again. You know, okay, this is what the dream was. I'm going to get up. I'm going to do this again. You know, we're told that they had no marital relations until after Jesus was born. And certainly in part that preserves it being a virgin birth. At the same time, maybe it took that long for Joseph to warm up to her, to be, okay, this is how we're going to do family. And even on the days that I doubt that this is what's going on, because certainly he had to have doubts. I mean, if he didn't, I would be shocked.
Yeah.
Certainly he had to wonder if what he dreamed was real. I mean, dreams fade, y'all, right?
Yeah.
They certainly fade. And so I like that this is coming up on the same day that we celebrate love in Advent. Because, like, Daniel, I think, Daniel, you said it. You know, love is action. It's not words. And sometimes love is a daily choice to continue to act. And I think Joseph is heroic in the way that he loves. He loves Mary, and by all accounts that we can tell, he loves baby Jesus. And I think that that's heroic. It is certainly of God.
Well, you know, that reminds me, Nikki, of what you said of Brett Younger, who I think used to teach at your seminary.
He does. He did.
But I think he's now at in New York pastoring. He in an article, the Old Baptist Today, now Nurturing Faith Journal, he says this: we all know prissy people who love to show off their knowledge about the Bible, but show no signs of loving anyone. We also know amazing people who can't name a single book of the Bible, but they live the grace of God. And that makes me think of Joseph. Not that he, you know, couldn't name a book of the Bible or didn't show any outward signs of faith, but for him, what counted in the end, what truly showed love, was acting out of a heart of love, not necessarily proclaiming it or trying to work for a better deal, but doing what had to be done. For that, I think, you know, he's a great model of love.
And what a great message for this Sunday of Advent for all of us. Thank you for the love each of you show each day, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Find more information about this podcast, as well as videos and teaching resources for this session, at faithelement.net. Subscribe to the Faith Element podcast on iTunes. Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.